Welcome to Microsoft's Insurance Corner with your presenters, Heather Haley, Insurance Account CTO at Microsoft.
And I'm Steve Walker, Insurance Cloud and AI Platform Specialist at Microsoft. With this series, we aim to cut through the noise and bring you practical insights on the Microsoft technologies reshaping the UK insurance sector. From agentic AI to data platforms, developer experience, security, and the future of underwriting and claims.
This series is designed to give leaders and practitioners clear, actionable perspectives you can take straight back into your organization. No hype, just real conversations, real expertise, and real value. Thank you for joining us. Let's get into today's discussion. Right, Steve, what did you think?
We were joined with David Prince today. I think it was a very strong conversation. I mean, David is a wealth of experience when it comes to all things agentic transformation. He has been there, done that, seen it, worn the t-shirt. I loved the fact that he was, the way he was framing that conversation around, the agentic future when it comes to FSI.
Agreed. And I have to admit, one thing I took away from David's segment was that is probably one of the best ways I've heard someone articulate what an agent really is. Because if we even think about, you know, what agent meant 12 months ago, the use of it just in everyday conversation has just absolutely exploded. So the way he contextualized it, talked a little bit about the history and really went into the difference between using something like a co-pilot versus an agent, what a typical function that could look like, I thought that was absolutely spot on.
Yeah, I agree. And there was a lot to be said for talking around about starting small, taking baby steps, and it was a good conversation about how you would then start to scale that across an enterprise. Look, I think let's not talk anymore. I think we should just get straight into it.
Brilliant.
Today's guest is David Prince. David, welcome to Insurance Corner.
Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. We're very, very pleased to have you on the show today. Do you want to take just a couple of minutes to say hello to everyone and introduce yourself?
By all means. Very nice to meet everybody. I'm David Prince. I work as a Microsoft account exec in the financial services business, focusing on the insurance side of the house.
Fantastic. And David, we were delighted to have you on the podcast today, mostly because you are the agent champion in financial services within Microsoft. Do you mind just sharing with the audience your perspective on agents, what you're seeing, and why you're such a champion of agents for productivity?
I guess I'm lucky enough and probably old enough to have been around for a long time now. And what's interesting for me really is, if you like, the next evolution or revolution when it comes to AI. If I look back in my career and my time, I actually joined another IT company, a large one, back in the late 90s. And I was there when, if you like, the internet as we know it today came into creation. When I look back at that time, then the high street was probably king. And on that high street, if we think about insurance, every high street had an insurance broker on it. When the internet came along, I remember ringing customers and saying, you know, would you like to talk about having a website? And the answer then was, look, no, why would I want one? Are you crazy? We then had obviously the internet bubble. A lot of companies came into existence because they could see the power of what the internet would be. But unfortunately, at that time, their ROI model about making money didn't stack up. Then we had the reality kick in, and people then start to realize around the power of the internet and how it could actually transform the experience for organizations as well as customers. But what is true, in my view, is that people on the high street didn't necessarily want to change the model. They were quite happy having shops. It worked. They knew how it worked. Everything kind of worked seamlessly. But what really drove the internet was the consumer or the customer. They didn't want to go to the high street. They saw the internet as a way to actually, gain insight to the world, to new experiences, do things more seamlessly, more quickly, and in honesty for businesses, probably cheaper. And we saw the explosion of companies such as Amazon, things such as the travel sites that we all use, the ability to, plan our trips and buy things. And that really, unfortunately, decimated the high street, not because companies wanted to, but consumers wanted to. When I look at AI today, I see a very similar situation where AI has come into existence. People can really see the value of it. I think what's different today compared to back in the 2000s is companies obviously now using it who actually make money and have solid balance sheets. The question I think most people have got though is, you know, how do they make use of it? And when I think about agents, I think agents is one of those really, really killer use cases for AI. And what's different around agents, if you like, and the new AI as we know it today, is that point around large language models. The fact that they can understand context and can reason and actually can do tasks for you intelligently. So I always think of agents, if you like, as not IT, but digital assistants or digital employees. And that's the big difference. That, you know, if I think about how do we use technology, you know, agents are, in essence, a mirror image of myself. But I set the agent's rules, I set the agent's tasks, and I get the agent to do work for me. And I think what Microsoft is bang on the money about is, if you like, is it's not AI instead of a human, it's actually human-led, AI-enabled. And I very much see that in my daily activity with agents, as well as what I'm seeing from my customers' use of agents. So that's kind of, I guess, how I see the situation at the moment and how I see, if you like, AI and agents actually helping people.
That's exactly right. That's certainly how I approach AI. They'll oftentimes be the Copilot app in the background. I'll be whirring away, looking at the researcher agent, for example, helping me prep for a meeting, and yeah, trying to use and think of them in the way that you're using it to augment my personal productivity, right? But I do love the way that there's that shift now where we start to focus on them and see them in a different lens, as perhaps treating them, like you say, as people. And Microsoft is very well positioned to be able to support that, because you can govern exactly what these agents have access to and sort of policies that are applied to them. And yeah, thinking of them, treating them in the way that you would with any other employee is an interesting shift, I think.
Yeah, and I think that is a big change. So many people have been used to using IT as, if you like, a functional tool. But what's kind of magical and also strange is I have a conversation with my agents, which is very different to the way that we've kind of typically interacted with technology before now. You know, you would send an email or you would type three words into a search engine and get a bunch of links back. But now I actually have an active dialogue and I can actually kind of rift with my digital assistants and, if you like, talk to them about, you know, work matters or even personal matters and say, look, you know, here's my perspective, be critical, what do you think, how about this, how about that? And that is a real, if you like, intelligence shift for us as well as humans or employees about how we're leveraging this new capability, which is AI. And it does take a little bit of a mindset change, but I think people do grow into it. And I say to my customers now that there's no way I could conceivably think about going back to a world of not having agents. Doesn't mean I'm any less busy, by the way. This idea that we're all going to be on a golf course for like half a week or sort of like outsailing whatever is your personal passion, not necessarily also true. But I do think it improves the quality and also helps me kind of gain greater insight to the work that I'm producing. And in some ways, as you say, AI from a Copilot perspective now in M365 is becoming table stakes because so many people now have it. But equally, as I say, I don't think people would want to go back to having a world without agents once they start using them. It's like saying someone would like to go back to pen and paper over email. That's just never going to happen.
Remember, you can get in touch with the show on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you with feedback, thoughts, and even suggestions for the future episodes. Now back to the show. I have an interesting question for you, Mr. Prince. A bit of a sticking point, I'd say, for a lot of my insurance orgs is the maker model. So obviously with agents, we have especially Microsoft, we have the ability to create our own, very much designed around our workflows, our working practices. I think, David, you're our number one champion in building your own agents as well. I guess it'd be lovely to hear your perspective around what is the opportunity for that freedom for individuals to build agents. And I guess, you know, on the other side of that, giving two perspectives is, you know, are there any cautionary tales that you think we should flag, or, you know, does the opportunity exceed this sort of scare around agent sprawl?
Yes, that is an interesting one. And I think the way that I'd position it is, organizations need to use AI and agents to, in essence, transform the way that they physically operate. As I say, if you don't, you're going to be left behind. And if your cost model, your operating cost, is massively out of kilter with your competitors, then naturally your products or services will be more expensive than your competitors. I think the first step in that journey about learning about agents and that new way of doing things is by using M365 Copilot agents. That's the one where any employee can build an agent to do a single task for them. And when I've spoken to my customers, there's a little bit of nervousness when you mention the word agent, but when I explain to them that, in essence, all an agent is an ability to do something on a repeatable basis with a set of rules. And anything you can do in M365 Copilot today, you can do with an M365 Copilot agent. It just saves you having to write the prompt each time. Equally, if you want to bring in some standardization, so let's just say we want our team to respond to customer requests in a set way or a set format or a set template, you can build that agent for a team to use that you have that commonality. The risk sometimes is if you're letting everybody, if you like, write their own prompt and we're in the same team, Heather, your response to a customer might be dramatically different to mine, even if we use the same Copilot tool. That ability to, in essence, give it a job description and a set of rules about how you want it to respond brings that commonality. So the first step is getting people used to actually prompting and asking, if you like, or building an agent, which helps them do a repeatable task. And the classic for me, in my world, is that either internal or customer email summary after a meeting. You know, I started off typing in my prompt, you know, write me a summary email, I want this, that, and the other, and iterating on that to make sure I got the right kind of prompt back. So I wanted a, if like, exec summary at the start, some meat in the middle, and then next steps at the table. Now, I didn't get to that in the first iteration, but eventually I got to that point where actually I was very happy with it. And then I was having to remember it and retype it or copy and paste it. And then this thing came up called an agent. I was like, wow. And I could actually put that set of rules or prompt into my agent. And now I just do a /after every meeting and just give it the meeting. And away it goes and produces the, if you like, the response for me or the output. That gets everybody in the same boat as a collective about the power of these things. And in some ways, that's the easy wins because there are so many repeatable tasks that every organization or department does that you could just create an agent for. It doesn't matter whether you're checking a document, whether you're producing an email, you name it, you can do it. There is some clever nuances, though, you can also do because, in essence, you could say to the agent, if it's an internal email, I want it to be slightly friendlier, slightly more unstructured. If it's a customer email, I want it to be very structured, very exec level led. And even the nuance about if I'm sending it to my manager, I know, for instance, my manager might be more analytical. So I want you to lead with the metrics at the start and then the content. If I'm sending it, for instance, to our sales leader, he might be more visionary. I want you to like set out the vision to start with and then give the metrics because you can actually set those rules. And because it has that contextual understanding, it can actually do that for you. You know what? And instead of having to do, let's say, 5 hours of typing up my notes and writing my notes and sending it, that ability then to do a task collapses down to minutes. You know, the often question I get, or one of the questions I got was the so what? I can't get rid of, you know, I can't get rid of everything. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if you think about the logic of why the organization has employed you, they've employed you because you're an intelligent, competent human, not to do, if you like, repetitive, boring, administrative tasks. If you could take that time and take it back and say, actually, I'm going to spend an hour just thinking about what could we do to improve the way that we work or a new idea to help the organization, that would be more valuable. You know, and in some ways, if we put that into everyone's job description that says we're going to give you back 2-3 hours, 4 hours a week, but your responsibility is to come up with one good idea a month to help the organization, you know what? That's a far more useful thing for you to do as a human being. And I think that's where it's going to get to. You know, it doesn't remove the need for the human. The humans and us and you and everybody on this call are unique. It's their ability to add that kind of free thinking and innovation. It's the bit that you're hiring them for. I think that's where these digital assistants are going to help you to start with. The next piece there is what I just kind of hinted to, which was just because you do it today this way doesn't mean you need to do it this way tomorrow. Yeah, we all hear this every day. So, you know, most of the things we've had were designed in the 1940s. Doesn't mean they're fit for today. So can you use these agents to actually kind of complete a process in a different way that you do it today? Because actually you've got the opportunity to re-engineer that scenario. Now, that's the step on from M365 Copilot agents. We're probably talking now Copilot Studio and some form of automation, let's say Power Automate, because you're going to actually re-engineer a process. Same principle about writing the prompt to give the digital assistant or employer role, but you're probably going to have a chain of them because you're going to rethink what that process is. It's a natural evolution from the first step because people naturally say, okay, I've created this agent, but I want it to pass it to this other agent. It's like, well, this is what we're going to do. And it gives you a slightly deeper and richer set of capabilities because you might want to extract text from something or pictures or whatever it might be. And that's great because you re-engineer those processes. And as an organization, you probably are going to see big gains in both, if you like, operational cost savings, as well as, if you like, productivity and the ability to serve people. The last is this thing around agentic. And some people can scratch their head. Everyone bands around the word agentic. All agentic means to me is the ability for agents to complete tasks without me having to necessarily press a button. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be removed from the loop, but in certain activities, I can give an agent a set of rules that says you can decide on what to do. You know, in the very simplest form, it could say for an insurance company, if an email comes into a shared mailbox that says claims, pass it to Agent B in the claims department. Agent B, your job is to extract the data from this email about a claim and populate system C or D. Or if you don't have all the information, please write back to the sender and request the information be sent to us. You know, that's simply an agentic process where an agent has a set of rules that they can complete for you. Ultimately, it would still come to me for final sign-off, or maybe not, because actually, if it's below a certain value, or in essence, you know this customer has in essence put a claim through and never has before, you might decide to approve it. But that's where you become an agentic organization where agents are actually completing tasks for you based on rules that you've given them. And that means then, in some ways, that idea about how we're going to change how we operate as organizations will change as well, because you're probably going to have things like agent managers, you know, and that kind of process, because it will be both humans and agents working in collaboration together. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, I find that really interesting because I've worked with organizations in a previous role where we would build out automation flows and you would, to test it, you would feed something in at the top and you'd visually see a green check or a red cross to say, well, you've reached this branch in the process. And like you said, there's a threshold of value, for example, if you need a certain number of approvals, for example, on a some kind of a sign-off process. I'd imagine now something like the hard work to go and plan and map out that process would now just be a bunch of prompt files sat inside either a repository or attached to an agent of some kind that just says, I'm going to feed you this. And in plain English language, here are the thresholds of what you need to do if what previously would have been a case statement is just literally writing it in English language. Now, I find that fascinating.
Yeah, and I do too. And I think I can definitely see that's where we're going to end up, in the sense that you're going to tell an agent the task that you want it to complete, and it's going to go away and decide how it goes about doing it. You know, and it won't be that straight line that we kind of see where humans have designed it, that it's going to be passed from person A to person B to person C. It may decide to do them in a different order. But equally, you shouldn't be concerned about that, because ultimately you've given it a task to do and it's going to go and do it. And that's why I think this thought process as well, which Microsoft talks to around Copilot being the UI for AI, really comes into place. Because today we have multiple applications from Microsoft and third parties, which we have to go in and access and enter and get information from. I can quite easily see a world in the future where, in essence, you simply have, if you like, a Copilot conversation and the information is surfaced up to you. You know, you don't have to log into CRM. You simply ask the question and it's presented to you in a way that works for you, which is also interesting because I think it just touches a little bit on the accessibility point, that not everybody wants to consume content in the way that we serve it up today. So for instance, if you were blind or had low vision, you know, you aren't going to be able to see, if you like, diagrams. You're going to want it, in essence, to explain to you what is in the diagram. That doesn't mean that diagram would go away, because other people that aren't blind might find that the easier way to actually consume information. But AI will be able to know you as a human and actually present the information to you that gives you maximum return on what you're trying to understand. And I think those kind of nuances will start to creep in, you know, and it will be really, really powerful. And a real leveler as well. You know, I have dyslexia. The ability for, if you like, agents to write my emails for me is, you know, game-changing. It's game-changing, as believe it or not, as spell check was for me when I was coming out of school and I had my first computer. So that was a massive revolution for someone with dyslexia. But it doesn't solve the dyslexia problem in a whole, because there's word blindness and you get your words jumbled up. So, but now Copilot, in essence, can sort out, if not my grammar, etc. And I just have to tell it what I'm trying to write. So again, game changing, but also the way that we actually design processes and have work completed in the future will change.
Yeah. I also like the way that I can take meeting notes and have them digested in a different format. So being able to create a podcast format, for example, is really useful for me.
Yeah, yeah. That capability in Notebook in Copilot to be able to listen, you know, to, if you like, a podcast of what you're trying to learn. Yeah, amazing.
Exactly what you said, David. We were speaking to a couple of our customers around headless systems, to your point of Copilot being almost that extraction layer and a different way to consume information. So that's ended up being like a really interesting concept, especially for underwriting teams, broker teams, which are on the go as well. So yeah, love that as a scenario. And similarly on the podcast as well, we've had a lot of questions around, you know, does AI remove some of the personal touch? But actually being able to transform, you know, a client document or a sort of a client summary sheet and being able to transform it into a podcast or an audio file of some sort for them to, one, consume in a different way, to your point, different learners, different ways of consuming information, but two, just a bit more of a personal touch, right? A differentiator when you're receiving thousands of documents from brokers across the world.
We all work on very complicated engagements, you know, and having to search through a number of documents to try and consume it is very much, if you like, that 1930s classroom approach where we all sit at the front, we look at the board, we write down what the teacher wrote. You know, now that does work for some people, you know, and it stands up well. But equally, being able to actually just listen to something helps other people work in different ways and actually consume information just as well. And I've got a number of customers, for instance, that use that ability to do podcasts as their final walk into the office before they're doing a presentation, because it gives them the ability just to listen to it and hear it from a different perspective, which is super cool.
Love that. I was going to ask David, obviously you've been working in the insurance sector for some time now. Have you got a favorite agent that one of your clients has created, or a common use case that you're hearing that customers are turning into agents?
So there are some common themes. I've got lots of favorites in some ways, but there are some common themes. So things I see people doing with to start with in agent terms was, if you like, if you're consuming lots of documents or reading lots of documents or have to check documents, that ability for an agent to compare A to B is just transformational. That does lead on to a great use case with one of our insurance pension customers, where the challenge they have is there just aren't enough underwriters in the world to, in essence, be able to, if you like, complete the amount of work they need to get done and, if you like, enable them to have their growth strategy. So they have built an AI underwriting agent that helps their agents, if you like, do the assessment of complicated documents and come to a decision. And that ability to take away, if you like, the boring, mundane legwork of checking A versus B frees their underwriters up to do, if you like, the quality work. So that, to me, to my mind, was that perfect blend of AI agent supporting a, if you like, a complicated task for a high-value employee being an underwriter. I've seen some really interesting ones where, if you like, boards have used agents to, if you like, assess some form of announcement or financial results. You know, because in essence, they've said to it, look, we want you to take the role of either a financial analyst or a business analyst. I want you to review the results before we announce them and actually come back, if you like, where you see our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, to help them think through things with a different lens. And also they've done, if you like, red team versus blue team around the announcement, where they said to the agent, we want you to take the role of a combative journalist. You know, and here's what we're going to say. what would you ask me? You know, what would you, and then how do I respond to that? And it's just an interesting way of that, that thought process about using something that can reason versus just something that can compare A to B. Other great ones I've seen, for instance, are marketing teams. You know, marketing plans are kind of like long and big, and there's always someone throws a spanner in the works about how do they rejig them. You know, producing, if you like, marketing content's a great one. And even now where we're seeing, if you like, some of the AI to be able to produce, if you like, short videos. I know we have a service in Azure to do that. And that thought process about how do you really produce that kind of marketing content at pace, and in some ways a cost that would enable you to produce these kind of micro campaigns. I guess those are three of the kind of the good ones I think I've seen recently.
That's fantastic. I love the idea of the AI acting as a combative journalist, trying to get a scoop. I think that's excellent.
It's really interesting, you say, because the problem I think people have is when you're in a room and you're doing something quite complex, let's just say it was your financial results, everybody's on your team. You know, no one's going to be critical. In some ways, no one wants to tell the king walking down the street he's not wearing any clothes. you can use AI to do that self or safe, if you like, assessment of what you're trying to produce and give you an external viewpoint that you might not have seen or nobody wants to necessarily say around the table. And again, that is the magic of the reasoning piece of large language models.
Heather and I have got some great ideas for episodes lined up in the future. So remember to subscribe to Insurance Corner wherever you get your podcasts. Now back to the show. How, as a Microsoft team, have we wrapped around a customer and supported and get these agents rapidly into production, or at least into an MVP state? What can we offer there?
So there are quite a few programs, Steve, that we've got available to us. I would say, though, that what I've seen work best is typically some form of AI and visioning workshop to get everybody on the same page. Going back to the earlier piece of the conversation about where do customers start, they're not going to jump immediately. They might do to, if you like, so say a highly complicated business critical process. But the AI and visioning gets everybody on the same page, helps them understand, if you like, those three levels of capability. They then need to have both executive support and funding, as well as, if you like, a grassroots team about how you're actually going to build this thing. And we can help them with the physical building, but we don't want to build it for you. We want to build it with you. There's no point us building it and you walking away with a shiny agent if you don't understand the process and how to repeat that. And we can help with a repeatable piece because we have teams such as our factory team that will co-build with customers and actually bring these things to life. As we equally, if a customer has Microsoft Unified Support, they can leverage the Unified Support team to help them with that journey. And of course, the natural sales teams, everybody from myself as an account executive, our account technology strategist, through to our, if you like, AI business solutions specialists and our solution engineers. I think the main point, though, is having a clear plan of support, as well as, I would say, prioritization. Because, you know, when you first start, you want everybody building, but then you need to start bringing people back to the actually, you know, what's the ROI for us doing that? You know, and they need to have a way of doing that. And weirdly enough, that's another way AI can assist you and agents can assist you. You can actually build your kind of AI agent, triage agent. And I've seen customers do that where they've said, look, get somebody to put an agent idea in to an agent, and it will ask them questions about, well, how much time do you think it will save? How many people do you think it will help? And that helps build out the mini ROI case. And it helps them then assess, okay, is this an easy agent you should build? Is this an agent we should build with you? Is this an agent which is really complicated? We might need Microsoft to come in and help us build it because it's net new and it's going to drive some kind of magic.
Love that.
Love that.
I'm a huge fan of the hackathon approach as well. So locking everyone in a room, slide the pizzas under the door and see what built at the end of the day.
You can't come out till you come back with some magic. But yeah, right. The last thing to say is, and this is an interesting as well for companies, is not everything you do will turn out to be a success. You know, and that idea of failing and failing fast isn't a bad thing. It's a learning journey, and you learn, if you like, some ways what does and doesn't work as well. And that's part of the journey. And I don't think companies should be scared about that. Well, not everything will come to, let's say, production. We might actually decide this isn't necessary, given us what we want. Fine, put it in the bin. Let's get on to the next one.
Fantastic. David, thank you so much for your time today. If folks want to get in touch with you, how is best to find you?
You can ping me on Teams. So I'm fairly easy to find with my email address, which is david.prince@microsoft.com, or just go through your actual account team. They can reach out to me or they'll help you directly regardless.
Fab. Thanks, David. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there we have it, Heather. That was David Prince. Another strong conversation that we had with him.
Yes, loved it. Again, we're trying to bring a lot of these concepts, these new innovations to life for our audience. And we obviously talk about this meant to be, you know, real insights, real conversations. And I hope everyone felt that from David as well. I loved that he talked about how he uses Copilot day to day. I loved that he talked about his personal experience, especially from an accessibility perspective. So he very openly talks about his dyslexia. And it's just lovely to hear these stories where AI is actively bringing gains, bringing benefit to lots of different people.
Absolutely. I think we should be doing more of that, giving real examples where we're using these tools, not just Microsoft, right? It's asking customers the way they're using it and sharing it, because there's so many different ways to do it to improve your personal productivity. I think it's just a case of sharing those ideas and trying out and seeing what's new with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we should definitely do, Steve, is based on David's championing of all things accessibility, I would love to have him back on for another episode to just talk exclusively around the role of AI, how it brings accessibility to life.
I agree. It was such a refreshing perspective. And I, without realizing it, make use of a lot of these tools because they're available and they're available to me. And I talked about having meeting notes condensed down into podcast form because that just happens to suit me a little better. But I agree. I think a full deep dive with David on all things accessibility, we must get him back in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just switching a little bit to our insurance customers, loved his view on, you know, the future of agentic orgs. So the idea of people building their own agents, acting as sort of like digital workers on their behalf, giving them tasks and activities to fulfill. Again, I see that as a huge opportunity for roles such as underwriting and the broker teams as well.
I do too. Yeah, we see it in the dev space all the time. We've got devs now orchestrating an army of agents at their fingertips. Very, very soon we'll be seeing that branch out into the insurance space and with brokers, like you said. Very exciting indeed.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I guess my one call to action for our audience is very much everyone start small. Take specific tasks, the mundane, those activities that don't give you any real excitement, hand that over to an agent and just start exploring today.
Absolutely. Okay, if you've enjoyed today's episode at all, please do review us wherever you find your podcast. It does help us out immensely, but I will happily leave it there and we'll see you again soon on Insurance Corner.
See you soon, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.